Hello, everyone. Certain red Ed Miliband has been in the news quite a lot recently, not least because of the Heathrow debacle that happened last week. But the main thing is that he is the person that Keir Starmer has put in charge of climate stuff and leading the charge on net zero. Trouble is that his current plans basically are going to crash the British economy. And I'm increasingly concerned that Keir Starmer is not going to stop him. I keep on hoping that at some point Starmer was just going to fire Miliband because the man is, he's like a religious zealot. Here he was on LBC. And after I play this, I'm going to give the assessment of Tony Blair or of the Tony Blair Institute, who basically have come out and said, like, look, if we go ahead with this, Britain is done. Okay. It's actually quite concerning. I don't really talk about this topic that much, but if it's going to crash the economy, it is, you know, a danger to all of us. So anyway, here is Miliband, and then I'm going to talk more, I'm going to go into the weeds a little bit on this story.
Promise the listeners and the electorate that energy bills would be cut by £300. The reality for most people is they've gone up by about £110, £111. Politely, why should my listeners believe a word you say?
Because we've got a long-term plan for 2030.
But you've got it the wrong way around, Mr. Miliband. The bills are going up.
Clean homegrown power to cut bills by up to £300. Here's why bills have gone up. Because of our dependence on fossil fuels. And here's the thing, Nick. Every solar panel we put up, every wind turbine, I know you're not a great fan of them, wind turbines, every wind turbine we erect, every piece of grid we build makes us more secure and gives us that clean homegrown energy. There is only one answer to get off that dependence, to get off that roller coaster, and that is the clean power mission of the government. And maybe it will even convert you to wind turbines.
And you still know your colours to the mast of that £300 cut.
Absolutely. Up to £300 by 2030. It's what we said at the election, and we continue to stand by it.
No, this is absolute madness. Everything he said was basically insane there. But anyway, now, Blair, the Dark Lord, has had it in for Ed Miliband for quite a long time. I remember when he became the leader back in 2014, 2015, sort of time. Blair was constantly counter-signalling Ed Miliband, and he even came out and said, Ed Miliband's going to lose the election, he's taking Labour in the wrong way, i.e. away from Blairism, away from me. If you remember, Ed Miliband had a brother, David Miliband. He was the Blairite, Ed Miliband was the Brownite. And as I've been talking about in recent weeks, Blair has recently been staging a coup, and Ed Miliband is a holdout, a leftist holdout. So Blair has actually been changed his tune on net zero all the way back in July 2023. This pretty much shocked me because I thought, well, of all of the issues that Blair was going to be ideologically, you know, transfixed on, net zero would be one of them. But he has been saying for quite some time, look, Britain is 1% or less than 1% of the total carbon emissions in the entire world. If Britain did nothing, like if Britain was nuked off the planet, China still dwarves, right, absolutely dwarves the rate of carbon emissions from not just Britain, but all of Europe. In fact, in this article, if you read it, Blair even says, like, in the past decade or in the past couple of years, China has produced more carbon emissions than the entirety of the Industrial Revolution, right? In terms of CO2 output. I mean, it is insane. So he has been saying for some time, look, you cannot make the public, you cannot put this on the voters. Now, Blair, ever the Machiavellian genius, of course, has something else in mind. He knows that if they go ahead with this, the public are not going to brook it. And you're going to get a revolt of the size of the revolt that Macron has seen in France. And it's going to fuel populism. And Blair has always got one eye on containment and making sure that nothing upsets the power structure. So he is focused on power, not just energy, okay, always. Well, recently, the Tony Blair Institute has been messaging against Miliband, and here are all these headlines. Miliband's net zero promises are false. Tony Blair's think tank warns. Ed Miliband's ambitious pledge to deliver 650,000 green jobs slammed by Tony Blair. Ed Miliband wrong to say net zero will boost jobs, says Tony Blair's think tank. And Ed Miliband warned against making a huge net zero mistake. Again, the source is the TBI. That's the Mail. That's the Times. That's the Sun. That's the Express. So they all went with it. Now, in a moment, I'm going to have a look at exactly what that green paper, what that white paper of the Tony Blair Institute says. Honestly, it's kind of scary. It's kind of eye-watering, some of the numbers that they're talking about. Before we get there, though, I'll just remind people, buy courses at the Academic Agency. Bestseller there, of course, is The Trivium. There's Foundations of Shakespeare. But given that we're talking about economics more and more, how about the old classic, Foundations of Economics? In fact, I'll even play the ad. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this net zero madness.
Are you sick of hearing about Marx and Keynes? Do you want to know why neoclassical economics is so flawed? Have you ever wondered how to work out the marginal productivity of a burger bun? Do you want to level up your econ knowledge? Buy it now. £350. Foundations of Economics. Foundations of Economics.
I'm here.
Foundations of Economics. Get it now.
All right. So let us have a look now at this Tony Blair Institute white paper. And I'll just get it up on the screen here. Hopefully you can see that. It's called Reimagining the UK's Net Zero Strategy by multiple experts at the TBI. And I'm going to first thing to note, by the way, it is not like the Tony Blair Institute and Blair are against net zero suddenly. Okay, their framing is that, yes, these are all things that we need to do to quote-unquote battle climate change, yada, yada, yada. But we can't do it in such a way that's going to completely destroy the British economy, okay? Especially given the reality of CO2 outputs in the world. That's their framing. Now, I'm going to skip past this early bit because I want to skip to some bits that really caught my eye down here. Now, they talk in terms of the carbon budget. This is the quote-unquote sixth carbon budget. Sounds like something out of Soviet Union, doesn't it? You know, the fifth agriculture plan, comrade. Yeah, the sixth carbon budget. The CCC pathway assumes the phase-out of unabated fossil fuels in the electricity grid by 2035. Never going to happen. Never in a million years going to happen. But anyway, let's have a look at some of these numbers, okay? This would involve adding 3.5 times more generation capacity than has been added since 2010 and doubling the transmission capacity of the electricity grid. Is that happening? Is Ed Miliband putting plans in place? Right. Bear in mind, it's 2025, and to build a power plant takes minimum of 5 years, 10 years. Are they doing any of this? No. For buildings, the CCC pathway requires upgrading all buildings to Energy Performance Certificate Standards, EPC, Standard C, over the next 10 to 15 years, and for no new gas boilers to be sold after 2033. This means that by 2030, heat pump sales must reach over 1 million per year in new and existing homes. This involves selling almost 17 times more heat pumps than were sold in 2023, according to the Heat Pump Association. At present, the total market for boiler installations is 1.8 million annually. All right, so another thing that's never going to happen in a million years. I mean, these targets that they've set are just not happening, are they? They talk about these things, but they just don't do them. And now Miliband is there a kind of fully paid up evangelist for all this crap. And you know, he's trying to accelerate, but if he does it in the manner that he's talking about, he's going to crash the economy. Let's carry on. Surface transport emissions need to reduce by 70%, 70% by 2035. This assumes a ban on new internal combustion engine vehicle sales by 2032, as well as a 9% reduction in car miles travelled by 2035. How are you going to do that then? Commercial transport zero emission vehicles are to make up 96% of new sales of heavy goods vehicles, buses and coaches by 2035, and almost 100% by 2040. All right. Another thing that's never going to happen. Let's see what else needs to happen in order to hit these targets. For aviation, the CCC pathway assumes a gradual reduction in emissions through demand management, improvements in efficiency, and a modest but increasing share of sustainable aviation fuels, including no net expansion of UK airport capacity. Non-CO2 global warming. All right, so there's that fourth runway gone, you know, or whatever they're trying to do at Heathrow. Non-CO2 global warming impacts from aviation, such as contrails, are not included in carbon budget accounting. Manufacturing and construction emissions need to reduce by 70% by 2035, as compared with the 2018 levels. Oh, brilliant. Guess what we need? More deindustrialization. This will involve mass migration to electrification, carbon capture and storage, CCS, and hydrogen in the late 2020s and early 2030s, as well as energy and resource efficiency. The CCC estimates that the cost to the exchequer of enabling these deep decarbonisation measures in a way that protects trade-exposed subsectors would be around £2 billion per year in 2030. This cost could reduce over time as policies come into force for imports and industries are subsequently able to pass costs to consumers rather than taxpayers at large. They're the same people, right? Consumers and the taxpayers at large are the same people. In the CCC's pathway, agriculture emissions need to decrease by 28% by 2035, and net emissions from land use need to reduce by 93% by 2035, compared with 2018. The CCC pathway suggests one third of agricultural land will be freed up through changes in output and more efficient farming practices, and 21% of this land is designated to sequester and reduce CO2. And it just goes on and on and on of these things that are just never going to happen. The CCC estimates that engineered emissions removals of 58 million tons of carbon dioxide per year are required in 2050, in addition to nature-based sinks of 39 MTCO2 per year from UK land. Removal technologies like biochar, carbon negative cement, and enhanced weathering are considered as speculative, so have not been included in these scenarios. The carbon budgets are set on the basis of territorial emissions. Now, look at all of these things that will absolutely cripple the British economy that they're talking about doing, okay? And in some cases, the technologies don't even exist, right? They just don't even exist to do these things. And they're talking about doing all of this in the next 10 years, okay? Now, this is the next bit that caught my eye. They talk about the international challenge, which is a polite way of putting it. Until 2000, the US and Europe produced 70% of cumulative global carbon dioxide emissions. However, in the past few decades, the picture of where emissions currently come from has transformed. While the US and Europe are still responsible for the largest share of historic emissions, the emissions in like 1960, the emissions in 1860, current emissions mostly come from other countries. Guess that the technologies of the Industrial Revolution delivered improving living standards and economic growth in developed countries, the same technologies are now fueling growth and prosperity in developing countries. Oh, that's nice for them, isn't it? That's nice for them. We have poverty imposed on us, due to all this shit. And in those other countries, they get to go through their industrial revolution. Oh, tickety-boo. Brilliant. That's a nice equalizer. You know, in the board gaming world, we called it a catch-up mechanic. Is that what all of this is, net zero? Is it a catch-up mechanic for the quote-unquote global south, for third world countries? I mean, what the hell is anybody playing at doing this stuff? But anyway, let's carry on, right? Because these numbers are ridiculous. The source of emissions have now shifted. Between 1990 and 2020, the EU's CO2 emissions dropped by 31%. Over the same period, East Asia and Pacific emissions have increased by 240%. In the EU and North America, CO2 emissions per capita have fallen by 35% and 31% respectively since 1990. By contrast, they've increased per capita in East Asia, Pacific and South Asia by 162% and 138% respectively. Oh, ticket, absolutely brilliant. From 2003 to 2023, North America decreased its coal generating electricity by 65.84%. In this same period, Asia increased its coal generated electricity by 218.15%. Oh, yes. Well, the leaders of the West need to pat themselves on the back, because basically what they've done is, in raw terms, they've nerfed their own capacity for the benefit of rival nations, right? They've committed a kind of slow economic suicide for what? For what? Because none of those other places seem to give a shit about all of this, but we do. I mean, you know, what I'm saying is it's not going to fix the problem, is it? Right, let's say you believe in all of this crap, which is what it is. Let's say you believe in it all. You're basically doing nothing. You're basically doing nothing. That 65% reduction from North America has immediately been offset by the increases in Asia. Right, and the climate doesn't just, like, you know, it doesn't recognize borders. It's truly an equal opportunity employer, the climate. Right, so let's just pretend that all of this stuff they talk about CO2 is truly harmful, which is what they say. Then you basically have done nothing. to make a pun, the impact of all of your nerfing capacity on your own energy sector has been net zero, hasn't it? Emissions, which is basically Blair's point, emissions in Europe and increasingly also North America are now now on a downward slope. But in emerging economies and developing countries more widely, population growth and energy demand are rising exponentially as development accelerates, with potential major implications for emissions. The total worldwide energy consumption of 18 billion kilowatt hours is likely to more than double and could soon reach 40 billion. Oh, right, okay. It's going to double. While we are literally destroying our economy, it's actually going to double. Energy use per capita is 46 times higher in high-income countries than in low-income countries. Two dozen emerging economies will fuel future emissions growth. Several of these countries could create a wave of emissions similar to the one caused by China between 2000 and 2020. To illustrate, China consumes as much cement every 2 years as the US did over the whole 20th century. Let me just read that again. China consumes as much cement every 2 years as the US did over the whole 20th century and builds more than 8 new airports every year. Other countries are likely to follow a similar path to China as they develop. Oh, right. So all this net zero crap that we've been imposing on ourselves, and the Chinese don't care, which is, again, Blair's point. But it really does highlight how insane this is. So Miliband has to be stopped. He has to be stopped. And all of this stuff in Europe has to be reversed. Otherwise, we're looking at a future dominated by the countries who aren't doing this. Okay. For all his faults, Trump in America has got the right idea opposing all of this, because this is madness. It is actually, it's literally like chopping one of your feet off and then going into battle with one foot. basically, is what we're doing. You know, so much so that it's crossed my mind more than once that I wonder if the Chinese are even, you know, funneling this stuff to us, you know, in order to sell us batteries or whatever. It really is one of the biggest swizzes of our lifetimes, all of this. You know, and that's not to get into all of the science behind it and all the rest of which I'm a noted skeptic, by the way. Surprise, surprise. But this is like, if Miliband isn't stopped, it's curtains for Britain and for Europe in general, right? That Mert in Germany need, like, I know he's hugging the Greens tight to stop the far right or whatever. They have to stop all of that. Otherwise, we're not going to have a Europe or a Britain or anything, because we're just going to live in a century dominated by the countries who aren't doing this stuff. Right? And somebody like Blair will always back himself. Oh, yeah, we can persuade the Chinese to do the net zero stuff and all of that. They're not going to care. The realities of power are that once you're big enough to stand on your own two feet, as China is now, they're not going to listen to finger wagging from the West anymore. You're going to be like, no, we're not going to do this stuff. Okay. And, you know, just try telling India or China or Indonesia or any of these places, oh, sorry, you're not going to be allowed to develop your economies because of all of this stuff. You know, we made mistakes ourselves when we took over the entire world, and now we're trying to rectify that. They're going to be like, no, we all have the developed economy too, thank you very much. And if you guys want to commit suicide, that's up to you. That's the reality of it. So this stuff has to change soon. You know, the mood music is encouraging, I think. The very fact that Blair is putting all of this stuff out. But, you know, yeah, the solution lies in clean technology. And then he goes on to sell AI, right? He even uses this as a way to sell AI solutions and all of this. Okay, all of that's crap as well. But this is an issue, and it needs to, they need to reverse course on it sharpish. Okay, just a friendly little Tuesday video to, you know, don't all work, you know, sleep soundly tonight, everyone. It's not all going to be disaster, but it might be if this man is not stopped. Starmer, if you're watching, fire Redhead, get somebody sensible in. Pick up a course at the end of days, and I'll see you again tomorrow. I'll see you again later on for office hours. Bye, everyone. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.